Thank you, Jeremy. And those songs all remind us of our relationship with God. And we every day ought to be living for our Master and making sure that our mindset is what it ought to be. And I want to talk to you tonight about changing your mindset, retraining your mind. Have you ever thought about all the thoughts that go through your mind in a day's time? There are so many. And Paul said that we're to think about things that are good, things that are wholesome, things that are lovely, things that are pure, and if there be any virtue, think on these things. And every day our mindset should be, I want to think about things that are good, and things that are wholesome, and things that are spiritual, instead of allowing your mind to be impregnated by the evil thoughts that the devil is trying to place within your mind. They just make us so harebrained, actually. But we can change that. And someone appropriately said, if you change your mind, you need to change your life. It is evident that we must change our mind. We all are gifted to be able to have a reason to be able to exercise what we do in terms of words. Aren't you you know, the mind is such a complex thing when you really think about it. And there's a group of folks today that say that the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and it is. And sometimes people waste their mind by not really thinking on things that we ought to be thinking on. But the state of your life is nothing more than a reflection of the state of your mind. Solomon said that many years ago, as a man thinketh, listen to that, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's so many passages that I want to talk about tonight that have relationship and bearing on the subject. In the book of Romans 8, verse 6 and 8, Paul the Apostle says, for the mind of the flesh is death. In other words, the things that are carnal, the things that are fleshly, he says. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh, when you live like the world, that's enmity or hatred or resentment against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, it's not like because we are fleshly in nature the way God made us. But when he talks about the fact that we cannot please God while we're in the flesh, he's talking about living a fleshly, carnal lifestyle. Now, that's really what he means, and it's impossible to do it. Jesus, however, addressed the same subject in the book of Matthew chapter 15. Beginning in verse 18, he says, but the things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. You ever heard people say, when people say things, well, I didn't really mean that. Yes, you did. It came out of your heart. Now, that's what Jesus says. You can't deny it. And he said, and they defile the man, for out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. And he says, these things, or these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I used to tell my mother that years ago, and she'd always tell me to go wash my hands before I ate. But that's not really what Christ is talking about. You know, there were so many different ceremonial laws in the Old Testament that Jesus nailed to the cross. And he's not saying it's wrong to wash your hands, but he says if you were to eat something without washing your hands, it does not mean that you are defiled. But he says the things that really defile a man are the things that are in his heart. Those are the things that really will defile you. In Romans 12, beginning in verse 2, Paul says, and be not fashioned according to the world, or don't be a conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do you know every day we have to renew our mind? We do. To refresh our mind. We were talking about that in our conscience this morning, if you were not here at the early hour. In Proverbs 4:23, Solomon said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So what you speak and what you say and how you live is a result of what goes on right up here. The state of the mind, the psychology of control. Everybody wants to control everybody. But sometimes we cannot control our own mind. Even when we're trying to read the Bible and read the Holy Scriptures, trying to put in our mind those things that are lovely, those things that are of good report, the virtuous things of life, the pure things, even when we're trying to do that, the devil at the same moment, simultaneously, is trying to put bad things into your mind and snatch the word away. Jesus spoke about that, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter 8, in the parable of the sower. He talks about the seed of God being sown in good ground, but some seed being placed in rocky ground or by the wayside. And it didn't last. But what really is important is our mind. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said in this superlative command, and by the way, when the other gospel accounts give this, it doesn't always include the mind, but here it does. And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." But in spite of all of those great passages of Scripture where God speaks to us concerning our mind, there are so many dangerous states of mind. There are really some scary states of mind when you stop and think about it. You know, you look at all the world today and the corruption, and I appreciated the prayer a moment ago and how true it really is, Kyle, when you look out at our world today and how corrupt it has become. It all started with the mind. If you were to go over to the book of James and he gives you the process by which death really ensues, it starts in the mind. Man is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. Now let's take a look at some of these states of the mind, if you will. Number one, there is the closed mind. You ever talk to people that have a closed mind? I mean, honestly, we should never, ever be afraid of where truth may lead us. We all have certain things in our minds that we think are right and that other things that we think that are wrong. But if the Bible tells us certain things are right, even though traditionally we've not believed that, then we ought to go back and believe what the Word of God actually says, shouldn't we? I believe so. But there are a lot of people that have closed minds. They program their mind. They get a lot of information in their mind. But what happens is that they allow their mind to be closed to any additional truth. And that parable of the sower is a good example in Matthew 13. They planted the seed, but when it fell on the wayside, it didn't take root, didn't do anything. But when it was planted in rocky soil, it grew up for just a little time, and then it started wilting away. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, when you make a commitment unto God and you say, "I want to be a Christian and I want to be baptized for the remission of sins," how bad do you want to be a Christian? Are you really willing to make that kind of commitment unto God? And it is a commitment, folks. Some don't want to hear and understand the Word of God because they have closed minds. In Proverbs 28:14, Solomon said, "He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief or evil." On one occasion, the Apostle Paul had gone to Athens, Greece, and while he was there, he saw the Stoicism that was going on actually in Athens. And all the religiosity, and that really is what the word, you know, I think the King James word there is that you're too superstitious. But the word really should be rendered religious. Now, you can be religiously right or you can be religiously wrong. And so when Paul goes to Athens, he's trying to convince these people that there is only one God. He saw all these various gods in the city of Athens and one that was to the unknown God that bore that on the monument. And he said, this is silly. This is beyond silliness. This is ridiculous. This is too religious, he says. And it really was. But in that 17th chapter in verse 11, Paul says these were more noble, that is, the Bereans were more noble, they were wiser than those of Thessalonica, inasmuch as they received the word with all readiness of mind. Get the difference. Closed mind, open mind. Readiness. I'm ready to receive. I love to come to worship, whether it's on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and people are eager. They're waiting to be fed the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And one indication of that is just like the Bereans, when the Scripture says they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that were taught were so. It would behoove us, and I've challenged you all the time, I tell you every time, hey, don't just take my word. Take God's word. Read it. And if what I'm telling you is coming from the word of God, you believe it. And if it's not, don't believe it. It's no different than denominations. It's no different than evil doctrines that are being perpetrated in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Some people have closed minds and blind minds. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded. Oh, they weren't really blind. How many of you have studied Albert Einstein? I mean, it's amazing the tremendous mind this man had. And you hear a lot about him. But you know, he had to do a lot of thinking. He did. You know, we got a lot of people, a lot of brethren don't think anymore. And we just want our tradition and we want to carry on our tradition, even though the Bible might condemn it. In Romans 1 and verse 28, the Bible talks about such immoral people, and it says, even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God says, you know what, if that's the way you want to live, you just go right ahead and live that way, and you will die and you will go to hell. But God allowed them to have such a mind. God could have taken them out at any moment. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the Bible talks about, again, the blindness. And he says, in whom the God, you see that God in a little g, that's not Jehovah God, that's a little g. And the Bible says, in whom the God, that's Satan, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We got a lot of people in Palestine probably tonight that are not believers in Jesus Christ. And understand at all what the church is really all about. Because you've allowed Satan to blind your minds. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the image of God should shine unto them. You see, eyes are useless when the mind is blind. Some people might be able to see very clearly. You may be able to focus, and that's a great and wonderful thing. But what happens is if you're blinded in heart, you might be able to see everything tangible out here. And you know what? The blindness of the heart is far worse than the blindness of the eyes. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing, there it is again, of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 and verse 23. And that just means we have to free our mind, open our mind to say, you know what, I believe this or I believe that, but you know what, I am going to start studying the Bible to find out if that's right. You know, a lot of times people go to their preacher and they say, well, I believe that because my preacher said. I've told you, don't believe it because I say it. Believe it because the Word of God teaches it. And free your mind to accept the will of God. Brings us to another one, the hypocritical mind. Boy, that's one, isn't it? And you look back in the day of Jesus and how hypocritical the scribes and the Pharisees actually were. They were loaded with hypocrisy. They would tell the brethren to do one thing and they would do another. And on the hypocrisy meter, hey, they were hitting way up there. And I'm afraid that in our world today, the very same thing happens. But in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, it shall be you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will you say to the brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, while you have that beam in your own eye? Behold, the beam is there, all right. You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. How can you straighten up someone else's life, is what Christ is saying, if yours is not what it ought to be? Now, that's kind of a ridiculous picture, but that really is the way it is. You got a guy with a big 2x4 sticking out his eye, and he's over there trying to fish out a little mote out of his brother's eye. You think Jesus didn't have a sense of humor? A person's character is shown through their actions in life, not where they sit on a given Sunday morning. In Ephesians 4:29, the Apostle Paul gives another admonition, and he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's not just true of women. It is true of men as well. We are to teach the word of God. A fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Sometimes it's better to act instead of reacting. You know, most of us react. We do. We react instead of acting. And this is exactly and precisely what Solomon is saying. In Titus 1 and 15, under the pure all things are pure, but under them that are defiled and unbelieving there is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. There is a warning from God and from Job. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? The hypocritical mind. Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? That's one of those rhetorical questions we've been dealing with on Sunday morning. Job 8, verse 13 and 14. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be as a spider's web. You ever noticed how flimsy a spider's web is? You ever run into a spider's web, or maybe you saw one and you knocked it down? That brings us to the next one, the pessimistic mind. We got a lot of people that are so pessimistic in life. And heaven is in the heart, according to Solomon, of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. In other words, when you can envision hope and you can see it, you understand, and it makes you glad. And the cure is to see some good things and count your blessings. You know, every day people ought to count their blessings. A negative mind will never give you a positive life. That's a good one for the sign, Dwight. A negative mind will never give you a positive life. Some people have automatic negative thoughts, and they are perpetrated in the lives of other people. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear or negativity, but power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice the power of a sound mind. And these are the three things that are so important. God's given you power. He's given you love. and he's given you a sound mind. In 2 Timothy 3 and 8, we're introduced to two people here, Jannes and Jambres. We don't know a whole lot about them and how they withstood Moses. But when you go back and you read that, the Bible says, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's an unsound mind, isn't it? And it's opposed to God. Hebrews 12 and verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction, it says, of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You think you may have it tough? Think back to Jesus and what he went through. There is the covetous mind also. You know, there are a lot of things that play tricks on our mind. I want you to look at this just a moment. First time that caught my eye, I looked at that and I thought, that's the craziest thing in the world. But you know, there's some things out in our world today that look real that are not real. And you absorb those things in your mind. We are not to have inordinate affection, and covetousness is a sin according to the book of Colossians chapter 3. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. I like the words of Paul to a young preacher by the name of Titus. In the book that bears his name, you find these words in the second chapter in verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, serious-minded. And that brings us to the lazy mind. You know, sometimes people are just lazy. You know, it's true. In school, a lot of times, the people that make the good grades are the people that study. They're the people that absorb the information they're going to put down on that test. And maybe you failed the test because you were lazy. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give him that hath need. Don't be lazy. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. And these bleeding hearts that stand on the corner of the street and hold up signs, will work for food. I don't know how many of you have ever stopped to help those people, but many of them are just simply lazy. Their mind, their mentality is lazy. They're not interested in working. They're not interested in getting a job to provide for their family, but they're interested for the moment. But they are lazy and indolent. In 1 Peter 1 and 13, Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins of your mind. The loins of the human body are a tremendous asset to the body. Could you imagine where you'd be without the loins of your body? You wouldn't be anywhere. And so he says, let me tell you how important your mind is. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul served the Lord with an humble mind, Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. But a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And when you have things that are bombarding your mind day in and day out, and it's hard for you to sort through to determine what is true, you know, all these politicians amaze me. You know, they make all these grand and glorious promises. They do it locally, too. If you've been seeing them stand on the street corners down here and all those signs, and sometimes you don't know who to believe. You don't know who to trust. They tell you they're going to do this or they're going to do that. But how do you know? How do you know? The Bible says to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, all right, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then last of all, if we could bring it all together down to this one thing, and we could really change our mind if we did this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, He made of himself no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of mankind. And being fashioned as a man, he became obedient. He humbled himself and died, even the death of the cross. So when I talk about changing the mindset, we're talking about let's develop the mind of Jesus. Let's let his mind be in our mind. Too often we allow the demonic things to become our mind. But what about making Christ and his mindset your mindset? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity among brethren, among people that love God, to surrender and give yourself to him through an obedient heart to that gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, to make the good confession of faith through a penitent heart, and to be baptized that all your sin stains may be washed away and the new mindset can begin. While we stand and while we sing.